a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
1-2 pitch. High in the air, deep to right. That ball is foul. Or gone.
That ball was absolutely launched. Law Dog posing him up at the dish. He knew it off the bat. It was just a matter of how far.
That kind of weekend. Hello and welcome aboard the, yes, Paul Gallant Show. Didn't get fired, didn't die. It is Monday, July 28th, 2025, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, Texas. You know how to jump aboard. Voice guy himself said it. Call in 713-780-3776. You can text in at that very same number. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch as well at ESPN 975. Or listen along on the brand new ESPN Houston app. The whole gang is back together. Sean Mapes and I have not been in the same room in over 2 weeks. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah, because two Mondays ago, you were on your deathbed. Yeah.
It was a really bad case of strep throat. We got into a little back and forth with the Killer Bees over it. We've moved on. We're back here. Fun little vacation in Boston this past week. Went up to New Hampshire for one of my best friends from college to get married. Brought the girlfriend up. Had a really good time. I feel refreshed. I feel recharged. And part of that refreshing, recharged feeling might have to do with the fact that I literally have not watched a Houston Astros game in maybe 10 days. So what I know has gone down since I was last on the air, they lost 2 or 3 against the Mariners, but they swept the Diamondbacks, and everyone had a giant pants tent over Bryce Matthews. And then they got swept by the homeless A's, and they got swept in a really, really embarrassing fashion. I mean, there's no denying how bad this weekend was. They lost 7-1 yesterday, scored 7 runs in the series, 8 extra base hits, 3 for 29 with runners in scoring position over those 4 games, and outscored by a whopping amount of runs to the point where I don't even want to go back and take a look at it. It was bad. You could be annoyed by it. You could be frustrated by it. But maybe this is the positive energy I'm coming back from vacation with. But can we please relax? Can we please stop acting like the sky is falling? I think a lot of people out there, after losing 4 games in a row to a team as bad and as poor and as homeless as the A's, you're looking at the rest of the season and you're like, oh my God, are they going to make it to the finish line? And to you, I'm going to play a clip from something that you knew I was going to pull out of my back pocket as soon as I got back. West Side Story, a musical about two gangs who are probably gay, okay? They're probably gay. It's fine. I mean, in a dancey, singy kind of way. And there's a very important song that every now and then, whenever your boy gets a little bit testy, his father would sing to him, okay? It's about calming down, and it goes like this.
Boy, boy, crazy boy, get cool, boy, got a rocket in your pocket, keep coolie cool, boy, don't get hot, cause man, you've got some high times ahead. Take it slow, and daddy-o, you can live it up and die in bed.
She's talking about it from a gang perspective, because, hey, if you calm down, I could die like a normal person instead of getting gutted by an Italian or a Puerto Rican in the middle of the streets of New York. That's the two gangs. One's Italian, Irish, the other one's Puerto Rican. You guys need to keep it cool. I think it's very unbecoming when this fan base starts panicking. I think it's very pathetic when people are getting worked up about a series that took place in late July. You need to operate with this perspective for the entirety of this Astros campaign, given the amount of injuries that they are currently dealing with. Anything positive is gravy. Truly, anything positive. That they were able, last week, for a moment, to have the best record in the American League is amazing. This division certainly helps out a lot. I know things are getting a little bit tighter. The Texas Rangers are creeping all of a sudden. The Mariners are still hanging around. But with the way that this team has played, without any arms, without any legs, for the last couple of weeks, that they still have a four-game lead in the American League West, and that they are still neck and neck for one of the two bye series, is that what you call it? The bye rounds in baseball's playoffs, if the season were to end today, is incredible. But we were talking about this for months, weren't we? It's crazy what they're doing. It's awesome what they're doing. Was it sustainable? Was it realistic? I think we all knew the answer was no, this wasn't realistic. It was awesome, but it was crazy, Sean.
Yeah, definitely not with these guys. These guys that are out there. Yeah, they're wearing Astros uniforms, but most of these guys are Space Cowboys. And
Yeah.
Whenever, I think we all kind of, especially that stretch a week before the All-Star game where they win 8-9 against the top of the NL. That was like the, okay, guys, like this, and then beat the Dodgers. It's like, this will not sustain. This is like way above any realistic expectation for anyone's head, never mind the AAA guys that are in Astros uniforms right now. And since then, it's just kind of been just snip snap of we're back, it's over, we're back, it's over. Because while you're gone, last week they swept the Arizona Diamondbacks, which they're not a great team, they're a 500 team, but they still won three straight against the major league team, starting the guys they've been starting. And, you know, during those shows, it was, oh my God, this team's awesome. And then now, four games later, season's back over.
Losing to the A's is embarrassing.
Yes.
And honestly, anyone who watched that series, your fault. Your fault. There was no way you were going to be happy coming out of that series. There was no way. There just wasn't. I mean,
even like a split, people would know.
Right. With the lineup you have right now, and with the guys you're throwing out there right now, your fault. Shouldn't have watched it.
Yeah. And you gave up a historic night to Nick Kurtz.
Nick Kurtz, who I'd never heard of.
Well, I only heard of him because earlier in the season he had two walk-offs against the Astros in a series.
Well, see, this is, again, why you got to do the Paul Gallant trick to watching American League West baseball. Don't watch the games against the A's.
Oh, I thought you were saying the Men in Black.
Oh, well, that helps too.
Go on vacation. You just get the
Men in Black thing. And drink a lot of alcohol, and then you'll totally forget about it. But everything that they have done, especially over that stretch that you listed a little bit ago, Sean, was incredible. They probably peaked there. We asked that question. Are they peaking right now? I mean, they beat three National League West division-leading teams. They swept two of them. So moments like this were going to happen. But I'm seeing a lot of people that are acting as if there's no way that they're going to bounce back. And while the schedule does get a little bit tough in the near future, Boston's, for the most part, been playing better than they were to open up the year. The Yankees are hanging around. I think Baltimore is better than they actually are. There's Detroit. You have the Rangers a couple of times. You have the Mariners once. There's going to be some tough games ahead. And this might be a bit of a dogfight in the American League West, more one than we thought it would be a couple of weeks ago. But right now, even with this series where they were swept over the weekend, at home, by the A's, in embarrassing fashion, they're still in a pretty good position. And you just should realize that series like this are going to happen. It is not about the way that this team finishes record-wise. It would be great if they had one of the top two records in the American League. I'm looking at them as they're definitely going to be, at the very least, one of the six teams that make it into the American League playoffs. even with some of the limitations that they are currently trying to overcome. But there's going to be stretches like this. The stretches we've seen over the last couple of months was completely ridiculous. Fun, but ridiculous, unrealistic, crazy. So stay cool, boy. Play it cool. Or do this. If you're having a hard time watching the Astros, you should try another type of hard time. Paul, what do you mean by that? Well, did anyone see what was going on in that Phillies? Was it Phillies-Yankees game? I know it was taking place at Yankee Stadium, the upper deck.
A guy was wearing a Philly hat.
A guy was wearing a Philly hat?
I don't know if a Philly... it was just Philadelphia representation happening.
It definitely felt like the perfect combination of Philly trash and New York trash. But you know what? If those two people had to do that to enjoy baseball, I mean, that's kind of a baseball problem, right? Like, oh, damn, I'm so bored. I'm going to have sex, you know?
Whoa.
Well, it wasn't quite sex, but, you know. It's a
sex act.
They were definitely rounding the bases, if you will.
I mean, what, actually,
might have been at third base.
Speaking of Oakland, wasn't there a story a couple years ago of a guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Rounding third.
Right.
And headed home.
He was rounding third. So, listen, if you're mad about watching the Astros A's, it's your fault, first off.
Yeah.
But if you were watching Astros A's, maybe you should have thought about other things to do. And you guys know my problem with baseball. Sometimes when you watch baseball, you get so bored that you accidentally have sex with somebody. It happens. It happens, okay? It's happened to me. Girls, guys, I don't even remember. It doesn't matter. Baseball lends itself to that. But those happy little distractions will keep you from watching this team right now, which is so hamstrung and really, like, it's the little engine that could. They're a cute story right now. Just realize all of these things when you're watching the game. And either don't watch it when they're playing the A's. You're only going to be disappointed. Or go to third base with the person you're watching the game with, okay? Preferably do it at home. Definitely don't do it around kids.
Yeah.
You know, blah,
don't
yada, yada, yada.
Don't get wings before you do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there we go. Okay, guys? Not going so great for the Astros. And we had a bummer of an update yesterday as far as are some of the key Houston Astros going to return? You'll hear that on the other side, another episode of Astros ER. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show with Sean Mapes behind the glass. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. If you're tuning in, it's embarrassing the way the Astros lost to the A's over the weekend. But one, you shouldn't have watched it. You shouldn't have. You were only setting yourself up to be disappointed. And two, I don't think anyone should be panicking to the point that you're looking at the rest of the season like the Astros are doomed. You shouldn't. They have overachieved to this point, and a little bit of reality is creeping in given all the injuries they are dealing with. And at this moment in time, you can only control what you can control. You just have to hope that a lot of the guys who are banged up right now are going to be back. That's it. Does that mean you got to pray? Does that mean you got to do some sort of ritualistic sacrifice? I don't know. All I know is you can't really control anything at this moment in time. You can throw your hands up and get frustrated at the baseball gods who seemingly are sending blight after blight like it's, you know, the Egyptians back in Moses times at your Astros, but perhaps they will overcome all of them. On an Ask Gallant Anything Monday? No, it's not. But we're just going to clean up some questions because I've missed you guys. YouTuber J-Dog says, welcome back from your 30th vacation this year. Hey, it's my second vacation. And in my defense, I don't take days off during football season. Hashtag Paul Gallant went to a Texans game on Christmas Day instead of seeing his family.
Yeah. I had no days off.
No days off. This week, this past one, would have been nicer if it was the week before, but listen, people just like me a lot. Someone texted in, Paul, you go to more weddings than anyone on earth. Yeah, I've lost count. I don't know how many we're at right now.
You have to be at like 3 this year.
Let me think.
Because I think there's another one.
Yes, there was one in there was one. Technically, it was last year, but it was around New Year's.
Oh yeah.
There was.
Was there one earlier this summer?
There was one in April, early April. Yeah. Right? And yeah, so we were at 3 on the year. Most I've ever been to in a year was 9. That was 2017. Listen, people like me. I don't know. I don't know why they invite me, but yeah. You know, if I get invited, I feel obligated to go and just rack up credit card debt. And you know what? You figure that out later. Texter Bo brings up, I thought you were suspended for fighting Jeremy Branham until BMAC said you were at a wedding. Just keep this in mind. If we're joking about people getting suspended, or it seems like we're joking about people getting suspended, we're probably joking about people getting suspended. If we're not talking about a random absence, it means that the person has either been canned or is gone. That's sort of how this industry works. Yeah. I'm not talking about GalMedia. GalMedia is a lot better than most companies when it comes to stuff like this. But if we're talking about it and having fun about it, probably nothing happened. Just have that in the back of your mind, a little inside radio for you.
No one was joking around about other guys that actually got fired basically randomly on a random day. And we didn't come back. Like that, generally, just take that note.
Right, exactly. So there we go. A couple other texts just about what the Astros have been going through of late. Look, the year we won the World Series, we were swept by the A's in a 4-game series. And at least this year, we have an excuse with half the team being minor leaguers. Somebody brought up something else as well, where I think every single time the Astros have made it to a World Series, they got swept in 4 games or something like that by a sub-500 team. I don't know. Do whatever mental gymnastics you want to do right now. You're allowed to do them. They are so injured, and I just do not understand for the life of me the energy, the panicky energy, the angry energy about what's going on right now. Be realistic, first off. They are a very limited baseball team now, featuring a lot of minor leaguers, too. It is an 162-game season. Why is the non-baseball expert telling you that, hey, it's baseball? And you know what happens in a baseball season? Baseball things. These are baseball things. A lot of baseball things, but these are baseball things. Day to time. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be at the baseball trade deadline. And then there's 2 more months because the season's eternal. And by that time, we might be talking about a 1 seed or 2 seed. Remember that song from the Christmas movie? Santa Claus is Coming to Town? Well, now you do. Hey, the Astros are dealing with a lot of injuries. Let's give you an update on the most alarming injury today. What's going on, Esox Paredes? It's time for another episode of Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Esox Paredes has been dealing with a hamstring injury since, I think, my first day on vacation. It is a little bit more severe, per Dana Brown yesterday, than the Astros projected. He's going for a second opinion. The team should know more about his prognosis within the week. Paredes has not been spotted at Daikin Park since getting injured July 19th against Seattle. This is definitely concerning when Dana Brown is framing an injury like this. Quote, "It's tough to be optimistic when you know it's more severe." Oh, Dana's saying that is the kiss of death.
I mean, I will say, like, just watching him run up the first baseline, and like having watched a ton of hamstring injuries watching sports, I was like, this is not good. But, like, no matter what they say, like, it's starting at a month, you know, and given their tone afterwards, which is normally very positive, almost too positive, of like, this guy can just gut it out if he wasn't such a P-word. It's like the undertone of what they...
Like you aren't on in Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, and Jeremy Pena. Like,
wow.
He's like now missed like a month.
Yeah, it has been a month. But he broke a rib. Like
I know, but even they still drag their feet to put him on the IL every time. This for Esox to be like basically the next morning be put on the IL and for them to talk about how serious they are. I like to me, it's like season almost in jeopardy. Just also yeah. given the calendar, how late it is, but it looked like a pretty bad hamstring.
Would you volunteer your hamstring to Isak Paredes? 713-780-3776. Also, is your hamstring good enough to offer to Isak Paredes? You'd have to describe it. We want to know about your quad. We want to know about your glutes, okay? 713-780-3776.
I don't think mine's good enough. Isak Paredes, height and weight. Let's see.
I played a little beach football on Saturday, and I got to say, hamstring, if Isak needs it for a nominal fee, he can have it.
He's 5'11", so the size isn't an issue.
Okay. I mean, he's definitely a little more cushion on an Isak Paredes, you know?
213.
Yeah.
This is listed weight.
But more of a Branham build than a Gallant build. You know, a little thicker. But if he needs it, again, I'm willing to offer it, but I do want a good amount of money.
Yeah.
Because I'm throwing away flag football. Goddamn,
you know, season right around the corner.
It is. I'm thinking about. I had a couple pick sixes on Saturday. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to get back in there. More on Isak Paredes. Paredes thinks he will be out in months. He said this on an Instagram live that I believe he did while he was getting a haircut of sorts. He said it felt worse than the previous hamstring injury. Joe Espada also said it doesn't look very good. And one of the funny things about Paredes. He had travel issues getting back to Houston from Seattle, so perhaps they're a little bit behind as far as actually going and getting that second opinion because of that moment in time. Other Astros injury updates. Pretty hilarious that the A's trainer, the homeless A's trainer, was available to speak after a game at Daikin Park this past week. And I'm honestly surprised that the A's trainer is allowed to travel with the team, given their cash limitations. I'm being serious, too. When I say that, you would think that maybe there's going to be a lot of telehealth going on with the A's team trainer. But yes, they made him available, and a lot of Astros media folks made snide comments about that. I thought they were merited. Other injury updates. So, I guess a week ago, Jordan Alvarez was hitting soft toss at 60 to 65% effort. Here's what he had to say about it. While I was gone, this definitely doesn't make me feel great. Where the pain is in the hand, it's a little bit difficult to have surgery there. That's why I say I need a little bit of rest right now. It's an area where normally we don't get surgery in that area, but I think it isn't something I'll have to keep dealing with. Will you have to deal with it all year? The follow-up question answered Alvarez, quote, I wish not, but I don't know. If I have to deal with it, it will be for the rest of the season. I think I need to rest it, but again, I need to come back and play, and I think I'm in the right direction right now to come back and play, end quote. All right, sounds like Alvarez is not feeling 100%, but also he feels guilty that he's not out there because of how injured the Astros are. He wants to get back out there, and this is the tricky spot that the Astros find themselves in. Are you at a point right now where you perhaps have to say, Jordan, figure it out, man. We need you, you know? You might be Superman after he gets his ass kicked at the beginning of the new Superman movie, you know, and we don't have the yellow sun rays.
Yeah.
We don't have the full power to get you back up and running. You might be coming back at 85%.
God, we could use those robots.
We could.
That'd be a step up from
the dog.
Injury management or for the Astros.
Or drunk Supergirl. Strong, powerful, independent woman, drunk Supergirl.
Yeah. Yep. I think the Jordan quotes, it's all like, he said a lot of words, and I feel like I have no extra insight on what his injury is other than he wants to come back.
Right, yeah.
But it's like a lot of, I feel good, but the hand in a weird place, probably need a rest, which I ask, what has the last 3 months been doing? But if you need more rest, you probably should just get surgery. But it's a hard part to get surgery. I want to come back, but we'll see. It's like, we said so many words to end up on,
yes.
We'll see how his hand feels.
The indecisiveness, it's basically me and my girlfriend together. We are the most indecisive people. And hearing him going through that, I'm like, yep, I relate. Because I never want to make a decision, and she never wants to make a decision. And we like to have other people make decisions for us, which is why this vacation was great. Because we just didn't think. We're just like, yeah, sure, cool, great, awesome. Just tell us where to go. We'll go.
5 o'clock, got it.
5 o'clock, perfect, let's go. Other injury updates while I was gone. Fromber got hit by a comebacker. I thought he was going to miss time.
Yeah, yes. He came back and pitched well.
He did.
Relatively well against the against the Diamondbacks. But yeah, that was you did miss out on like 24 hours of anxiety there.
Cam Smith got hit by a pitch. He's alive. That's good. Yeah. Brendan Rodgers broke his nose and suffered a concussion in a rehab assignment.
Don't laugh. He got a concussion. His brain's hurt.
I feel bad. That sucks. You're in a rehab assignment. Just take a ball to the face. Yeah. And I guess Zach Short has a rib soreness issue. Meanwhile, everyone is bullying Cooper Hummel. Leave Cooper Hummel alone. That poor guy. You guys are treating him the same way that Joe George treated Blair Henley last year.
Yeah, Cooper Hummel is better than Blair Henley. I will say that.
Well, but he survived. He's played more, that's for sure.
But also, I would like for him to not be a starter, an everyday starter on the Astros just as soon as possible. Yeah. As soon as that's possible. Can we get this guy out of here? Thank you.
By the way, listen, injuries are not great. Yankees are dealing with injury issues themselves. Aaron Judge is apparently dealing with a bad elbow issue. So think about it from this perspective. The Astros have proven, I'm trying to continue to give you all the little positivity you can, the Astros have proven that they can sort of survive while banged up. I think we all look at the Yankees and we're like, Aaron Judge, if he's gone, I mean, are they even a wild card team?
They're like a one-man team.
Yeah, they really are. He's having an incredible season. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. This is Astros ER. Up next, I'm going to run through everything I did not get to talk about over the last week. Everything. It's a special. Paul was on vacation and had takes to fire off, but didn't have an outlet to do it and didn't want to do it on X version of In Case You Missed It Next. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it.
Everything I missed while gone last week. Texans training camp is upon us. Hooray! I did not go out today. I plan on being out there Tuesday, Wednesday, and on Saturday. Joe Mixon, Texans running back, one of their leaders, is expected to miss significant time with a foot injury. The Texans placed him on the non-football injury list. Meanwhile, these players are on the physically unable to perform list. Running back Damian Pierce, running back J.J. Taylor, defensive lineman Danico Autry, defensive lineman Derek Barnett, tackle Trent Brown, center Eli Cox, wide receiver Tank Dell, defensive lineman Foley Fatukasi, defensive lineman Kurt Heinisch, and Jimmy Ward, the safety who's dealing with an off-the-field issue that the Texans were very, very guarded about when they were asked about him. But he's there. He just ain't out with the team. The Mixon injury is concerning. It is sounding like it is going to be up to week one. Given how difficult it was for the Texans to run the football behind that offensive line of theirs last year, and whether that was due to their offensive line, their offensive coordinator, or their offensive line coach, it was a problem. And yet Joe Mixon somehow made things work in spite of all of those problems. I thought that he had a very good season last year in spite of a lot of unnecessary obstacles that the Texans created for him. To not have Mixon is a problem. I wonder what kind of injury we're talking about, Sean.
Yeah, he was in a walking boot earlier in the offseason, so I imagine ankle or foot, but that's just, you know, that's just taking a walking boot and extrapolating that out. It does get to the point where it's like, wait, if we're talking about like hope to have him by week one, like the goal is week one, start doing some math of like, wait, so he wasn't available for June OTAs and like pretty unavailable before that. It's like we're coming up on like a 3-month injury.
Yeah,
if week one is an actual deadline that's like 50-50 or, you know, 60-40 of whether he'll make it or not, like I would like them not to immediately jump ahead to we'll see in 6 weeks if exactly. He's ready. Because training camp is a long thing, a lot of time to miss.
For sure. And then, from what I've read, and haven't been out there yet, but Nick Chubb does not look like old Nick Chubb, if we're putting it politely.
Yes.
So, that was a guy that I
told everybody, hey, they brought him in. It's a flyer. I do not expect him to make the roster, honestly, just given the last 2 years. But now there is more pressure on Nick Chubb, especially now that Dameon Pierce is also sidelined, because this is a big opportunity for Dameon Pierce, theoretically. So running back situation, not great. Running backs get cut towards the end of training camp all the time, so there might be somebody available. And running backs are a position where it is rather plug and play. But what Mixon did last season was really impressive. You were not going to find a Joe Mixon.
Yeah, and the talk with the line is like they hope to be more like physical attacking, like going forward, having a different mentality. And so I was kind of like, okay, I can see how they're probably worse as individuals, but as a whole, you can also just change it up where you're less of a pass first team that you were last year, more of a running identity. And you have Mixon, who's one of the few guys in the NFL where I'm like, that guy's a bell cow back. Like, he can actually just tote the rock as much as you need it. And then it becomes easier of like, yeah, Nick Chubb's kind of an ancillary piece. We'll see about Pierce and Woody Marks. And now when you take Mixon out of that, that's when the Janka Tower gets really shaky of like, okay, like, they might be a better run-blocking unit. But also, for who exactly you say that you can always pick up a running back, after they get cut late in camp. I mean, I lived through the Cam Akers experience. I'm not saying that, you know, running back isn't a more replaceable position, but people do treat it as like, just walk by the running back tree and pick off a...
Right.
Like,
it's somewhere in between.
It's pretty hard. Like, a guy like Mixon is, in my mind, special enough to where, like, you actually can't replace that guy. You can hope to get good enough.
Exactly. I think Pierce has talent, but he's got to be out there.
Yeah.
And to what you're saying about Akers, Akers had a couple of moments to the point where they actually got something in return for a trade for him. But we will see. Mm-hmm. This is definitely not a great start for training camp for the Texans. No one's torn, knock on wood, an ACL yet. So at the very least, you got that. Well, I'm just saying, Janice McNair is the fourth member of the Houston Texans Ring of Honor. J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson, Bob McNair. So half of the Texans Ring of Honor is McNair's, which I imagine at a certain point in the future will also feature Cal McNair. There's going to be a pretty good amount of time where maybe half the Texans Ring of Honor are the McNairs. Does Hannah McNair get in?
I was going to say, I think Hannah has to get in.
I got to say, nothing against Janice McNair. I think it's BS that Bob McNair got in. I think owners love to, you know, give themselves a little you-know-what-ski. Arthur Blank did the same thing. F the bosses, just put the product out in the field. It's great that football's here in Houston. RIP to Bob McNair. He did found the franchise, so I suppose if you're going to give it to somebody, you got to give it to somebody. But, okay, now Janice McNair is getting in, too. It should be for the players and the coaches.
Yeah.
And maybe the GMs if they're good enough. Yeah. Maybe.
What's to commemorate Bob McNair in NRG Stadium? How about the fact that NRG Stadium exists? That is the monument to Bob McNair. Like, if you want to give him, you know, like a little wing with, like, a plaque and some stuff. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, his own personal... But, like, to put your name up on the stadium, like, between Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt is a bit much for, you know, an owner who the franchise still has never made an AFC championship game. Like, that, we're just not talking about, like, you know, Bob Kraft or even Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Like, where it's like, hey, there's some pelts on the wall. Like, you created the team. Janice McNair, you are... helped in some way, I'm sure, although...
But you're putting your wife in. Let's be honest, you're putting your wife in. Hey, it's cool. It's cool.
Do what you want.
She is the matriarch of the Texans now that Bob's passed away. She's still kicking. And again, we wish her well. Long life ahead. Ring of Honor, no. Sorry, out, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it is embarrassing that half the Ring of Honor is going to be...
And there might be...
At this point, like, screw it, like... The bar to, like, Brian Cushing should be in the, like,
yes.
Aaron Foster
in.
DeAndre Hopkins
like, in.
All these guys should be in.
Can we have more players than McNair?
Yeah.
That's because right now it's tied 2-2. Continuing, in case you missed it, everything I missed last week. President Trump wants the Commanders to go back to being the Redskins, and he said he will block a new deal for a stadium in D.C. unless they become the Redskins again. Okay. This is, you can't get mad at us for being curious about a certain list when you're doing this crap. This is lame. This is so lame. I, you know what? The old nickname was better. There's more history. It certainly was racist. whatever, okay? That's not for me to talk about. What I am here to talk about is, really, we're focusing on this. Give us that list. You know the list.
It's just,
give us the list.
Hey, look over here. Look over here.
Yes. And he also even brought up, like, the Guardians or the Indians. Hey, how about let's see the list. Then you can do it. If you need
we're still talking about the list. Who cares about the list?
Yeah, he's like, I can't believe people are asking about the list. I'm like, wait, what?
We didn't run on the promise of releasing the list.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are some people so mad?
This is bipartisan. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous gaslighting. It's like, oh, but we're going to focus on the effing commander's nickname? Like, get out of here. He signed some sort of executive order as well for NIL. I read it. I have no idea what it means.
Yeah, the fact that like no one has talked about like the effects of the NIL thing, it makes me think that this is pretty toothless.
Yeah, it seems like, wow, NIL deal. Are you trying to keep college football the way it used to be? Yeah. Are you trying to make it better for the players? I don't even know. It just seems like here's an executive order. Sports. Go sports. I like sports. John Harbaugh, head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, speaking to President Trump, answered this wacky question at a press conference.
Past Donald Trump has said, you know, denigrating things about Baltimore, including no being people who want to live there.
Yeah.
As a prominent representative of Baltimore.
Well, how you frame that question? I would frame the question like, you got a chance to go visit with the president, man. What was that experience like? It was amazing. It was awesome. And I promise you, I root for our president. You know, I want our president to be successful, just like I want my quarterback to be successful. And I want my team to be successful. And it was an amazing experience. You know, it's not often you get invited and you get a chance to do something like that as a family. You know, we were there. My daughter was there. Jim's daughters were there. My mom and dad were there. My mom and President Trump, you know, just seeing how he treated her was really meaningful, you know.
What a lame question. Hey, coach, in the past, the president asked some questions and may have highlighted that this city sucks. By the way, who thinks Baltimore's nice? Who thinks Baltimore's nice? And that's coming from somebody who, you know, on the outside looking in, I always have to play a little defense with my favorite city, H-Town. But yeah, Baltimore sucks. Baltimore sucks. There's a TV show called The Wire about how much it sucks. It's 5 seasons. It's one of the best TV shows ever made. Baltimore sucks.
And it's like different problems in each season of Baltimore.
The president said that our city sucks. Like, why did you meet with him? Like, I mean, it's the president.
Yeah. Okay, I thought it was like a hypothetical, like, would you go to the White House thing? And if I'm John Harbaugh, I'd be like,
what hasn't Trump dumped on? You know, like, what? Oh, I can't believe he said this about Baltimore. Like, yeah. Get out of here.
If you're a city in America, chances are Donald Trump said disparaging things, either intentionally or unintentionally, about you.
I'm gonna find like random politicians from other cities that have in the past like denigrated like Houston. Like 1923, Woodrow Wilson. His wife said that Houston sucks, and the Astros, they went to visit the White House. Yeah. What? Like it's dumb. Jerry Jones, speaking of dumb, Jerry Jones is just talking into a microphone, and this is perhaps the favorite thing that I observed on the outside over vacation. Hey, it's the start of the season. The Cowboys, hope springs eternal. Dak might be back. They brought in George Pickens. Lots of excitement here. Leave it to Jerry Jones to collectively set the vibes on fire.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
So there he is talking about Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is at Cowboys training camp in Oxnard, California, but after practicing for a little bit, he's currently not practicing because he has a lower back issue. So it's a bit of a hold in. What's really funny about that commentary right there is that J.J. Watt posted about it, former Houston Texan, and he said this: anytime you can publicly take a dig at your star quarterback and your star pass rusher simultaneously right before the season begins, you just got to take it. Nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you. Parsons, of course, reposted that. Today, fans were chanting for the Cowboys to pay Micah Parsons. Jerry Jones downplayed it. Stephen Jones, poor guy,
had to do damage control. Here's more Jerry just putting his foot in his mouth, talking about contracts here.
The other thing I would say is contracts are 4 or 5 years. Okay? There's a lot of water under the bridge if you step out there and do something in the first 2 or 3. You can get hit by a car. Seriously. And so there's a lot to look at over a lot of years that could make a big difference. Have you ever heard of any clubs committing to players and then they didn't pan out after they committed to them? We have.
Have you ever heard of nuclear war? You sign a guy to a contract, a nuclear war starts.
That's true. I mean, nothing you said was wrong about, you know, you could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Sign by Parsons.
Absolutely right. Anything could happen, you know?
I love Jerry. I love Jerry. It's fun on the outside looking at it. If you're a Cowboys fan, you're like, good God, shut up.
Yeah.
Here's more Jerry. This is all the same press conference to open up training camp for the Cowboys. And at the very least here, Stephen Jones took the wheel because I have no idea where Jerry was going here.
Frankly, should we have waited on Diggs and Steele? Oh, you brought him up. I did.
Well, the other thing is the willingness. I mean, you have players who are, you know, who decide, hey, I'm willing to wait. And I'm going to wait on bigger numbers. And then you got other players who want to be more conservative and say, hey, I'd like to have my money now. And that's every person's different. Every player's different.
It's a nice spin zone.
Yeah, boring. Get the old man back talking.
Get it back to Jerry, right.
Yeah, like the... I get why a Cowboys fan is like, no, please, Stephen Jones. I mean, I don't even care. Run the team, answer the questions, whatever. Me, personally,
I love it.
I want the guy from Landman talking.
Yeah.
I want that guy.
I want him to go in another monologue like it was Landman.
They should.
He was great at that monologue.
They should just start with, like, Jerry Jones, what you got for us?
Let me tell you about oil.
Yeah, just like, what's on your mind lately, Jerry? And just let him go just 5 minutes.
Right, exactly. Honestly, it's just hope that he doesn't go back to the Cowboys. That'll be okay.
Yeah, and if you're the Cowboys, that's a good time-wasting. Like, he's unwittingly, perhaps, filibustering. I'm just like,
yeah.
Let me tell you, I look around, I put my family around me. That's all you can do as a man. That's all that matters.
It's
all this
true.
Money, that doesn't matter.
That's all that matters.
And let me tell you what, Billy Bob Thornton. Oh, wait, no. John Hamm. Well, let me tell you what, John Hamm. I forgot what the rest of the speech
was
about.
I hope John Hamm took it to heart because he needed to hear that.
He did need to hear that.
By the way, he didn't listen to his advice. So Jerry Jones' advice ignored there.
Season 2, maybe.
From the 409, well, that'll be an interesting twist. For the 409, Jerry's old, Paul. How many 82-year-olds do you take seriously when they speak? They ramble with no filter. No, I love it. We both love it.
No, yeah. No, and by the way, 82-year-olds rambling, like, in today's day and age, being the Cowboys owner is a pretty low-stakes place to have an old person at the wheel.
It's not like Mitch McConnell or some of these other people that are just, like, farting their brains out and not knowing where they are in the middle of a press conference.
Yeah, this guy just runs the Cowboys. We can all get behind
it's
that.
It's fun. It's fun. You know, if we're going to have an emblem of just the boomers refusing to let go of things that are major parts of our culture, the Dallas Cowboys are a perfect example of that. The WNBA All-Star Game happened. They showed up to warm-ups, the WNBA All-Stars, wearing pay us what you owe us shirts. Nice solidarity, right? Hey, listen, they've definitely earned more money. How much more? I don't know. But leave it to women. Women hating women. The most jealous gender in the world. Here is Kelsey Plum destroying all of the collective togetherness of the WNBA sisters.
Well, that was a very powerful moment. We didn't, at least as players, we didn't know that was going to happen. So I think it was kind of like a genuine surprise. But the T-shirt, just United Front, was determined this morning that we had a meeting for. And, you know, not to tattletale, but zero members of Team Clark were very present for that. But, no, we were just we had a very...
That really needed to be mentioned.
I like that Sabrina
Ironwest.
I'm trying
to make the situation light, okay? But
came in there and was like, "Yeah, we didn't need to bring that up." We didn't need to bring that up. I don't know why Kelsey brought that up. This is classic women hating on women. No offense, ladies. You do it. We all see it. We never understand it. Okay, someone's the best friend for a week. Oh, 2 weeks later, you hate them. I don't know.
We want credit for the T-shirts.
Yeah, it's like, wait, how about...
They're too hungover to show up for the meeting. That's why I think... Yeah. That's why I honestly think that she's getting at, because that's basically all I saw from WNBA All-Star Weekend was just they're all getting drunk on different streams. So that's what I imagine happened, was like she was just trying to be like, they're too hungover to go to a meeting about the CBA.
Yeah, it's All-Star Weekend. Like, I would be too.
It's also...
Just wear the T-shirts. That's what matters.
It's also not like they're, you know, brokering peace.
Yeah. What do you think they said? What do you think they said? Hey, we need to do something. Well, yeah, don't bleep. Yes.
Treaty of Versailles they're hammering out. It's freaking putting on T-shirts that say, we want more money.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, they have a good case.
Yeah, and do you think any of them disagree? No. Like, actually, I think we're fucking being paid $75,000 a year.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand.
RIP to the Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah.
Drill, baby, drill. Post-pandemic, it just wasn't the same.
Yeah, the UFL basically moving half the league to teams that or cities that don't have football is essentially... If I were to try to ascertain what their strategy is, that's the strategy.
I guess,
but
right.
They're moving a team to Boise, Idaho. I think we can just 1,000-foot view what's going on with the UFL. Well, they're taking teams out of Florida and Houston and putting a team in Boise and, like, whatever, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Okay, so things aren't going great. Got it.
Not going great. That's it.
I got it. Cool.
We had some fun moments with the Roughnecks, and then the pandemic happened. It was always a bit of a mausoleum at that stadium after that. And I think they made a mistake in letting Wade Phillips walk. Or whatever the hell happened there.
No, he coaches the Rocks team now. The Rock got to be like, hey, that coach, he coaches my team.
Yeah, smart. Jalen Green said bye to Houston with a Players Tribune article. He said that I'm going to score 30 my first game back. And ESPN said that the Rockets drafting Jalen Green was the 21st biggest roster mistake in the NBA since 2020, drafting him. And one last one. This is just a fun story. The Raiders released Christian Wilkins 1 year into a $100 million-plus contract. There was a dispute over a foot injury, but there's some weird incident that's being reported on. I don't know the specifics. I heard about feet tickling. I do not know. All I know is that Christian Wilkins, the man who has been caught in the midst of a national championship, grabbing someone's ass or undercarriage,
yes,
if not parts, He's an interesting fellow.
Yeah.
A little different.
Yeah.
A little different.
We might have some more sound. Schefter told the story on McAfee.
Ooh. All right, 10-minute drill. We'll get to that.
So we'll effort to see what the dirty details are, or at least what Schefter shared. But, yeah, I think the injury thing was, like, convenient enough of a excuse if you didn't want this guy in your locker room. Although I will say it's not like... He seems like it's a little immaturity anything actually bad. This does make me rethink the segment we did while you were gone, Paul, where we go Texans for Christian Wilkins.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Theoretically, he would fill a hole.
Yes.
Theoretically.
Theoretically.
Not what he was doing during the national championship game.
Not that. That's Sean Mapes on Falk a lot, in case you missed it. Everything I missed last week. We'll do another one tomorrow from some other things over the weekend we didn't get into. Astros were swept by the A's over the weekend. Dana Brown, Astros GM, gave a State of the Union yesterday. We'll react to some of the things he had to say, specifically those that relate to a very banged-up Astros team. The latest on both Isak Paredes and Yordan Alvarez next. Stick around.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.